And so a lot of times you're putting out fires, like you're trying to navigate controversial topics. And so it takes a lot of patience and skill and dedication to do this work and open-mindedness, right? But on the flip side, it's very rewarding to see how it affects students and faculty and families, especially those students and faculty and family in marginalized communities.
Welcome to Diverse Paths at Country Day. I'm your host, Morgan Green. On this show, we're going to look into the life and career of Ms. Tiana Butler, our Associate Director of Diversity. She'll share her experiences with belonging and inclusion and how her office, known as the Tab Space, has impacted students in this community. Our guest today is the Associate Director of Diversity Planning at Country Day. She has a passion for diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, or DEIB work at our school. Some of you may remember Ms. Tiana Butler when she worked as a lower school drama teacher. She now works across all divisions of our school. She has not only given us the opportunity to talk to some of the very insightful speakers that we see during assemblies, but she has also created a safe space for many students in her office known as the Tab Space or Take a Break Space. Ms. Butler is known for her welcoming and comforting personality, and we're happy to have her on the podcast today.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So as I mentioned, you worked at the lower school as a theater teacher for a couple years ago. Can you tell us about that experience and how it felt to come back to Country Day with such a different role?
Absolutely. This is a great question, Morgan. So I actually was a Hearst Teaching Fellow in 2013. So I graduated from Davidson College. I got the Hearst Teaching Fellow here at Charlotte Country Day School. And my fellowship consisted of half the year working in the lower school and the other half working in the middle school, but I was going to work in theater because my minor in college at Davidson was theater. And so I did that, and it was a great experience. I got to work with Jenny Goodfellow, who was in the middle school, and then Bonnie Duckworth, who essentially created the theater program at the lower school. And after that year, she decided to retire, and I was asked to take over as a lower school theater teacher. And it was honestly some of the best years of my life. Being a theater lover, when you have the opportunity to create plays and musicals and, get to create choreography for little kids in JK through fourth grade, it is a dream because all day, every day, you're rehearsing or learning new songs. So that was a really great experience for me, and I appreciated that. It was my first real job right after school, and to be able to do a job that I loved and that I could share that passion with the kids was powerful. So to come back in 2021, it felt good. It felt like coming back home because I still remembered a lot of the faculty that were here, and some of the students that I had in fourth grade or third grade or second grade were now in the upper school. And so being able to see them, you know, all grown up and super tall was so surreal, but also so awesome, you know? And it felt like perfect timing. It felt like I just settled right back into a very comfortable bed or, you know, snuggled in a warm blanket. But being in this new role, I came back with a lot more information and experience after being at a lot of other independent schools doing work as a second grade teacher and, you know, DEIB work and working at admissions. So I was able to bring that knowledge back to a community which I really appreciate and treasure. And it was my first home. So it felt great. It was nice to be in this new role, but it was really great to be able to connect with people old and new.
So you mentioned that you minored in theater. Can you just tell us a little bit more about your educational background and how your education has helped you in your current profession and your overall career path?
So I went to Davidson College, and I graduated in 2013, and in Davidson, I majored in English and I minored in theater. Ever since I was little, I always loved to read. I always loved to write. And when I entered college, I felt like at first I wanted to be a lawyer. And then I changed my mind. After taking a political science class, I was like, I think English is more my thing. So I decided to declare a major in English. And while I was at Davidson, I had the opportunity to star and act in a lot of the shows they had. which was really awesome. And then from there, like I said, I, you know, got my Bachelor's of Arts in English. And then soon after I left Country Day, I got my MEd, which is my Master's in, of Education in Educational Leadership. And I'm currently working on my EdDD, which is my Educational Doctorate in Curriculum and Instruction. So all of that learning that I experienced really contributed to how I was and how I am as a teacher. You know, because I had been on stage at Davidson in theater, and because I had been in the performances, you know, I knew what it was like for the kids to be on stage in a sense, and all the nerves that come with it. And you also learn about what sort of teaching styles and ways are best for the kids, right? And so I wanted to make sure that when I was an educator, that I was providing students with a variety of opportunities to learn in different ways. Right. I wanted learning to be fun. And most importantly, I wanted it to be engaging and interactive. I didn't want it to be where I was just departing this knowledge to kids. I wanted it to be a collaborative effort. And I wanted them to be able to be excited each day to come to class. And so my time at Davidson really taught me that. It also taught me a lot about what it's like to be a person of color in a predominantly white environment, or a predominantly white institution. And so experiencing that, I was able to relate to a lot of the experiences of students of color at Country Day. But my MEd, obviously leadership skills, which are really important, and that's helped working in admissions. It's helped working as a DEIB diversity practitioner. And then now working on my EdD in curriculum and instruction, it really allows me to have to get a deeper dive into, you know, the importance of curriculum, right? How that should look, how assessment should look, how instructional practices should be, and how it sort of all ties together with culturally relevant pedagogy. So it's all informed me in one way or another.
And you mentioned that you're working on your, what is it called again?
My EdDD.
EdDD. Can you tell us about your dissertation? And can you also tell us about your personal experience as a diversity practitioner yourself?
Yeah. Well, why don't I start with my personal experience as a diversity practitioner? Mm-hmm. So the work of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, also known as DEIB, was not something that I just started, you know, when I became a diversity practitioner, I think 5 years ago. I always infused some elements of that work into whatever I did as a teacher. I remember, I think it was like my third year as a lower school theater teacher, and I worked with the Office of Diversity Planning here to create a play called In My Shoes, where it talked about differences in genders and stereotypes and sort of having the empathy to step into another person's shoes. And so I try to find ways to infuse that in my work as a theater teacher and in my work as a second grade teacher. So it's always been within me and in me. But to do it in a formal capacity as a diversity practitioner started in 2019 when I worked at another school. And so being a diversity practitioner is both a rewarding and very challenging job. You always have to be a lifelong learner. You have to keep learning. You have to keep looking at yourself, examining yourself, and finding ways of where you can open up the blind spots, right? You always are very vigilant of the experiences of others and cognizant of how you can support them, right? But also understanding that at the same time, there are so many different elements and obstacles and perspectives that may not mesh well with, you know, how to best support a certain group. And so you have to figure out how to navigate those. And so a lot of times you're putting out fires, like you're trying to navigate controversial topics. And so it takes a lot of patience and skill and dedication to do this work and open-mindedness, right? But on the flip side, it's very rewarding to see how it affects students and faculty and families, especially those students and faculty and family in marginalized communities. You know, having the TAB space, for example, is great because I get to see, you all in there and hanging out and having fun and having that space for you. And so I'm thankful that, you know, we're able to have that space, right? And all the affinity group spaces on campus and the programming that we have for students. So that's very rewarding, having those relationships with you all and with those teachers and staff members. But it's still challenging, but worth it. So back to my dissertation. So my dissertation is looking at the engagement of diversity practitioners in K through 12 independent schools with curriculum selection and curriculum development. Some people might look at diversity practitioners, directors of diversity, for example, and say, oh, their primary job is to make the school diverse by bringing in, you know, students of color or faculty of color, or their job is to create a high-level strategic plan for the school or to help with maybe disciplinary issues. A lot of times there's very little examination of a diversity practitioner's engagement directly with curriculum, right? So what's the content being examined? How is it being taught? Looking at assessment and how all of that is linked to culturally relevant teaching practices. And so I hope to, you know, talk to different diversity practitioners at independent schools like ours across the nation and see, you know, how are you engaging in curriculum if you do so at all? You know, this could provide insight into the support that diversity practitioners might need. It could provide more information on, you know, the level of engagement, how they're working with the curriculum specifically. So there's a lot of benefits to doing and conducting this research and just also understanding sort of the everyday lives of diversity practitioners. So I'm excited to do some research on that.
You're listening to Diverse Paths at Country Day with your host, Morgan Reed, a production of the podcast journalism class with KIC at Country Day. And so you mentioned, you know, diversity in the curriculum. And I just want to know how you feel about the controversy in the media surrounding the critical race theory as a diversity practitioner yourself.
That's a good question. I think it's a question that always comes up as a diversity practitioner. You're always asked, well, how do you feel about this? And my response is, it's tough. You know, I think, one, because there is a lot of misunderstanding and you know, misconception around what critical race theory is, essentially like what it is and how it's taught. And I think there is frustration around, you know, parents are saying like, hey, you know, you can teach my child this, but I want to be ready to talk about it too. And so I think sometimes when there's a disconnect between working with the parents to talk about these difficult controversies, that there is sort of a push against critical race theory or sometimes DEIB work. And so it's frustrating because of the misunderstanding that's around it, right? So as a diversity practitioner, I always have to be aware of that arena, critical race theory, what's going on there, the laws that are being passed in other states, right? Even if they don't apply to us, I think it really boils down to trying to understand a variety of perspectives and then figuring out how do we deliver this authentic history to students developmentally appropriately, and how do we do it in a way that presents different situations and histories accurately. And that is a very hard thing to do when you have a lot of different opinions and perspectives on how it should be done, right? A school is a place where traditionally students come to learn from teachers, but we found that school is now more of a communal thing, right? It's where parents want to be engaged with the teachers and the curriculum and their students. It's more of a shared partnership. And so when it's a shared partnership, you also have to think about, okay, what are the other perspectives that I'm not seeing? And how do we come together to create a successful academic and socially and emotionally sound experience for students around everything, but especially around hard histories and different perspectives? So in a nutshell, it's frustrating, but I also understand that there are different perspectives in this going on right now. Let's say that. And it's hard to come to a consensus in terms of the world on what is the right thing to do. But I think informing people, educating them, educating our students, educating our faculty, educating families and parents is at the foremost and forefront of that. And as long as we continue to do that, then hopefully the controversy surrounding critical race theory or whatever is pushed out there about DEIB work is lessened because there's more of a truthful understanding.
And I know a lot of people think that these kids are too young to be learning things like this. So could you talk about like some of the innovations that your office has made in the lower school in recent years and just about how some of the parents might feel about that and things like that?
Well, one of the things, I mean, first of all, all divisions do a great job and are continuing to work and strive to be better at DEIB work. The lower school, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, came out with the DEIB SEL strands, and SEL stands for social emotional learning. And so Cato Nims and Rebecca Patterson and J.G. Bailey worked with other lower school elementary educators to say, okay, what are the standards we want to have around diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging? And then what are the standards we want to have around SEL, right? Social emotional learning. They looked at those standards that they wanted for the kids and for the lower school as a whole. And then they figured out, okay, where are the overlaps in these standards between SEL and DEIB? And so they found that there was a lot of overlap because there is a lot of overlap between SEL work and DEIB work. So they created these curricular standards for the lower school and for teachers and students to have that combine both SEL and DEIB. So a lot of them are looking at identity, right? A lot of them are looking at how to manage their emotions. A lot of them are looking at different perspectives and looking at things through a critical lens, critical thinking. And so this has proven to be really successful because we're seeing that students are more self-aware of themselves. They're more open to looking at different perspectives. And we're also, through those strands, teaching them how to engage amongst themselves and with each other in ways that are respectful and in ways that honor the lower school core values. And so because it's been successful in lower school, we've actually had other schools and other teachers actually come and visit our lower school campus to say, like, how did you do that? How can I do it in my school? How can I replicate it? And each year you continue to grow with those strands. We continue to revisit them and re-examine them. So that's been pretty innovative for us, in addition to other work and training that we have for our teachers. And so it's great being able to see that outcome for students as they grow up and get older. But in addition to that, there's always training. DEIB work is always ongoing. And, you know, we want to be able to equip all the teachers with the skills they need to teach in culturally relevant and responsive ways to students. And so that's part of it.
And just to wrap up, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Okay.
I know you mentioned that you went to Davidson, which is a PWI, and I know you work here, which is also like not just a predominantly white institution in terms of students, but also faculty as well. Can you just talk about your experience with belonging and not only in the workplace, but growing up and going to college and things like that?
Of course. Believe it or not, when I was little, I grew up Catholic, and I went to Catholic school until I was in about the third grade. And I remember going to a Catholic school in Texas, Louisiana, actually, and being the only student of color in my class, right? And I was a little, you know, first, second grade child looking for people who looked like me, teachers even trying to find that, trying to understand who I was in a world that looks so different from me. And trying to accept that I deserve to be there and that even though I look different from other kids, I was still special. I was still beautiful. I was still talented, right? I may not have been able to do my hair in the way they did their hair, but, you know, I was still beautiful. My hair was still beautiful. And so I understand what it's like to be a child, to grow up in a PWI and the challenges that come with that, looking at yourself, asking questions about yourself, being unsure of yourself, looking for community, right? And not just because I wanted to just be with people like me, but because there was comfort, there was home in that community. And if I was struggling in school academically or socially, emotionally, I wanted to know that I had that community there to go back to. Not, you know, every night when I go home, but while I was there. So that was really important to me because I remember how it felt to be the only one. And then, you know, as I went through life, I went to Davidson and again, was in a similar situation, although I wasn't the only one, right? But I was, you know, one of a handful of people at the school at that time that were students of color. And what really got me through Davidson was that community. If I did not have that community, I don't know what would have happened, right? Because there were days that were really hard. There were days where I didn't understand different people. They didn't understand me, right? Frustration was there. And I could not go home to my mom and dad because my mom and my dad were 8 hours away, right? Granted, my sister also went to Davidson and she was 2 years older than me, so I had her there. But it's different than going home to a family in an all-black household and being like, oh my gosh, just being myself, not having to code switch. So when I had that community at Davidson, it wasn't just black people. It was students of color from a wide variety of races and ethnicities, but we stuck together like family. You know, we bickered from time to time, but we always had each other's back and we always made space for each other. And so when I was at Davidson, my junior year, I became a community connector, which sounds very cliche and dumb in some ways, but it was, there was 12 of us and we were students of color on campus and we realized that there was some division, right? And so we started a multicultural house where we would do programming for students all over campus to bring them together. And we got trained professionally on how to do this work. And we even created what we called the big talk at the time, where we invited the entire college campus to talk about race. And that was, that I think also fueled a lot of my DEIB, my, you know, diversity practitioner ways and goals. So having training in that work and seeing the effect it had on my peers really spoke to me. And so I, with my group of people, with my community, I felt like I belonged, even when I really struggled to feel like I was the value in general at the school. And so I know what it feels like to not belong. I know what it feels like to sit by yourself. I know what it feels like when you're wearing barrettes in your hair and your hair is braided and everybody else's hair is straight and you're trying to figure out if your hair is weird or different and what it feels like to have people touch your hair and make comments about your skin. And I want to be a resource, a community, a safe place, a safe harbor, a lighthouse for every student who's ever felt that way in these communities. I want to be that. If nothing else, I want them to remember that they had a place where they could be themselves. They had somebody who would listen. So my experience is, because I went through that and it sucked at the time, it helped inform the work that I do now, and it allowed me to be able to relate and connect with students in a way that maybe others haven't. And so that's sort of been my little personal journey through belonging.
And I just want to say thank you so much, because as someone who sits in TAP, you have 100% created that space on campus.
And
I appreciate you so much. Like, from freshman year, I just remember sitting by myself, and I literally did not have that space until TAB was created. How do you feel about Ms. Butler in the TAB space?
Ms. Butler is such an amazing person. She created the TAB space just for us, students who have like barely any space around campus to call their own.
We love her. She's always been very welcoming and supporting, and it just feels like a safe space where we can just come and be ourselves.
I love Ms. Butler. I think she does a great job of managing this space and also creating a space that is welcome for all students, especially for students of color who can often feel ostracized. I think, like, she is one of the most empathetic, kind, caring people I've ever met. She's honestly one of my favorite people ever. So
she's always made me feel safe around her presence, and I love her so much.
And that's why I love you so much.
I love you too, Morgan.
And I was so happy to have you come and talk to me today. And I just appreciate you, not just for being here on the podcast, but just for being you.
Thank you. That means so much, Morgan.
So we're going to close out. Thank you so much, Ms. Butler.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Diverse Paths at Country Day. I'm your host, Morgan Green. Special thanks to Ms. Tiana Butler. This is a production of the Charlotte Country Day School's podcast journalism class with Kit. If you want to know more about DEIB work in our community, come talk to us in the TAV space, which is at the end of Barnhart. We'll see you around Country Day.